This is Journeys to Orthodoxy.
Russia is something that I fell in love with when I was in fourth grade. I can still see the layout of the fourth grade textbook on the page of Russia. I was determined that I was going to go and live in Russia.
Okay, and you were interested in Russian history, Russian literature, the whole gamut?
No, just Russia.
And what was that like for you, stepping off the plane into Russia the first time? I mean, did you think, wow, this is like, I'm home, or?
I was excited to be there, but actually it was very, very difficult.
On this episode, Krista Belyaev shares her journey from evangelical missionary to Russia to Orthodox Christian.
It was a very tumultuous time, personally, spiritually, just kind of felt very uprooted. It was my dream, and I am very stubborn, so I was going to hold on to that dream throughout any feelings or problems that might have arisen, but it was very, actually very difficult.
And what sort of things were going on in your life at that time that made it a difficult experience accomplishing your dream, going to Russia?
It was culture shock like I've never experienced ever before. It had to do with me being super American and not knowing it. I mean, America doesn't have a culture, right? So how could my culture get in the way? A living situation was very difficult. Me not being able to speak the language was extremely difficult. I'm a talker. I'm a girl. I am a people person. And I couldn't make friends. I couldn't talk to people. I was, you know, kind of isolated.
Did you feel that way spiritually as well?
I did. I felt that way spiritually as well. I felt that I was in a foreign land with a foreign view of God. Even in the churches, even in the Protestant churches that I was going to, I felt that I don't understand anymore. You know, I used to understand, and now in this context, I don't understand. That lasted for about a year, which, from what I understand, is pretty normal for culture shock. About a year before you either accept what you're in, and you usually learn to love it, or you reject it and you go home and say, I'm never doing that again. and I may have done that, but I had no money, so I couldn't come home. So I was forced to stay there and stick it through, and I did, and I have not regretted it.
Prior to going to Russia, you must have known the Russian Orthodox Church is there. There's something, at least something called that?
I did know that there was something called that, I think. But honestly, I knew absolutely nothing about it. And if anything, I interpreted it as a Catholic church. You know, just the other version or something.
And that's not an uncommon American approach to Orthodoxy, I've found, is that, you know, something, it looks a little bit strange, kind of must be Catholic is kind of the default American response in many cases. And so how did you live out your spirituality there in a foreign place, with a somewhat foreign religion, as a young, college-aged Protestant girl?
I found missionaries through Calvary Chapel. I became active in the churches there. There were a couple of them in Moscow. And as time went on, and as I was staying in Russia and living in Russia, I began to serve very actively in those churches. Were very mission-minded and very outreach oriented, so I was pretty much a missionary. I didn't officially become a missionary for over a year, but I served in that capacity for quite a while.
And how did the average Russian person that you spoke to, in an evangelical way, in a way that you were trying to share your faith, how did they respond to you?
If they were young, they were just totally excited to speak with an American. They could care less what you were talking about. They'd talk to you about anything. If it had to be God, all right, fine, we'll talk about God. Right? They just wanted to be with Americans, talk to Americans, kind of have that new experience. So they were very excited. The older generations, middle-aged generations, would be more skeptical because they were very communist. Very atheistic, had been taught systematically atheism, So anything was strange and pretty fanatical, not very trusting. And also not very trusting of Americans or of any foreigners. They're very closed.
Just as a holdover from previous year's politics.
Sure. So they were much more difficult. The very older generations, the grandmas and grandpas, were very difficult because most of them do have faith. And so they held to an Orthodox faith and looked at us as sectarians and cults and stuff like that. So it was mostly just the youngsters.
Well, we know the end of the story. You're Orthodox now. How did you discover Orthodoxy while in Russia? I mean, it must not have been hard, because there must be Russian Orthodox churches everywhere, or at least very accessible to you in Moscow.
I became interested in Orthodoxy as a result of problems in the church.
As problems in the Orthodox Church or problems in the Evangelical Church?
In the Evangelical Church. So it's kind of a sad story, and it's a difficult story to tell for the simple reasons that it was hurtful. There's church, and there are church members, and there are church politics. And that is true in any church, and I'm not saying it's not true in the Orthodox Church. And it became very difficult to understand how this is supposed to work when you know that those who have put themselves in authority over you are doing things that are wrong. And so in that, and in the struggle that we had with the overseers of Calvary in Moscow, I became interested in how is this supposed to work, right? As a Christian, I'm supposed to submit myself to the authorities, no matter what, right? And God's going to take care of it. Okay, so who are these authorities? You know, and it came down to that very, very often. It was a long kind of grueling, as well as other problems that came into our church. We had some, what I cannot deny, were demonic activities in the church. I mean, out from the outside, you know, people who would come in, and there was one particular who was determined to destroy our church. And he came in smiling with great hope and you know, possibilities, and we put our faith in him as a leader, and he started doing all kinds of things in the church, and then all of a sudden just everything fell apart. He was very trying to fracture the church with many very, very logical, very, very biblical, very, very false teachings. And so in dealing with him and his false teachings and people who had in the church who had started following him and falling away, we had to go back to church fathers. We had to, because that was the only way to say, yes, what you're saying is logical. And yes, these teachings are based on one or two scriptures in the Bible, but they're false. And they have been deemed false over and over and over throughout history, in the councils, in other writings. You know, it's wrong. And so we had to go back to the fathers over and over and over to combat some of these false teachings that he was bringing into our church. So that was one spark. The other spark was the spark of authority of, you know, if the authorities are making mistakes, why do we have to submit? Well, we just have to submit because we're Christians and the Bible tells us to. Okay, fine. Who are we submitting to? And so there are these two things going on in the church and in my life that were causing me to feel like it's time to be serious and it's time to maybe change churches. Okay, so, you know, so then you go through all this history of this church and that church, and is it a biblical church, and is it teaching the right thing, and is it doing this, and is it doing that, and you have to make sure that the pastor is the right guy and the right kind of guy with the right kind of teachings, and oh, my head was about to explode.
That sounds like a really stressful, a really stressful experience.
It was. And through that and through my friends, I mean, there was not just me going through this. It was a group of us leading this particular church who began to say, okay, like, let's look historically. Oh, well, historically, the church has always been the church. Historically, the church has always been the Orthodox Church. Right? We'd all had church history before, where, okay, then Luther and the church split, and now it's the Catholics, and we never even heard of the Orthodox Church. Oh, there was some great schism a long time ago, and something happened, and now there's just the Pope. Right? Like, that's the extent of my understanding of the Great Schism.
Right. Right? I gotta say, that really was my understanding of it as well. In my growing up.
Right. And so now, being in Russia, we had to see church history from an Eastern point of view. And realized the thread, the continuation, and the not without human error. Mm-hmm. Not without problems and not without grievances throughout history in the church. But if it's the church, it's the church. And we grieve with the church, we grow with the church, we cry with the church, we fight for the church, mm-hmm. we protect the church, right? It was just all one. And it made sense. It was not an easy decision. It was very, very difficult, especially as a missionary in Russia, to say to my pastor, to say to my friends, who not all of us decided at the same time, you know, there's this kind of individual decisions going on here, to do this. And to say to those who I had converted, to say, I'm becoming Orthodox.
Wow. Was that heartbreaking in some way for you, to have invested so much time and energy and so much of just your own life into that missionary project, and then to walk away from it?
I mean, it was difficult, because I myself had been teaching things that had possibly been detrimental to people. Mm. I myself had to say to my personal disciples, I am changing, I am moving, I am not judging you, I am not telling you what to do, but this is what I am doing, and this is why I'm doing it. I mean, some of them were very angry at me, right? Some of them felt betrayed. Some of them, you know, were just very, very confused now in their own faith. Say, no, so now what am I supposed to do, right? You taught me this, and now you're leaving me. They felt hurt as well. And I pray for them, and I do have pain because of that. But I can't say that many of them are now Orthodox.
How is it that you began to attend an Orthodox church as someone looking to convert?
Right. I did have some friends who had attended one particular church in the center of Moscow. This church is a fairly controversial church. It is fully Orthodox and blessed by the patriarch, but has some tendencies, especially youth, with all of their wrong clothes and wrong attitudes, and allowing them to come and be part of the church, and through that grow spiritually as well. So, you know, they're a little more lax, and very, very strong preachers, which, as a Protestant, you may know that the whole reason we go to church is to hear a good sermon.
That's right.
So the draw for this particular church is that there was good sermons. And a preacher, a priest who was interested in missioning and interested in seeing converts, who was willing to talk to us. And so he just gave us time. When we said we were ready, he chrismated us.
Krista, thank you so much for sitting down with me. You have a fascinating story. I'm so thankful that you could tell it here in Journeys to Orthodoxy.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope somebody is helped or inspired by this story.
I'm your host, Jordan Paro. For more Journeys to Orthodoxy, visit myocn.net.